What You Missed on the Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lynn. Only on Money FM 89.3.
In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar is trading just off a seven-month high that it hit on Friday vis-a-vis other major currencies. Investors are bidding up the greenback following a hawkish sign from the U.S. Federal Reserve that it will likely raise interest rates two more times this year. The European Central Bank, meanwhile, is taking the opposite approach. It has signaled that it will keep European rates low well into next year. As a result, the euro is taking a shellacking. It's currently trading about 1.159 against the U.S. dollar, or some 2% lower than where it was just a few days ago. Shifts like this can be cardiac-inducing for traders like Stephen Innes of Oanda, who joins us now to discuss the currency markets. Stephen, to begin with, help us place the euro's drop in context.
Yeah, it was a massive one-day move. We don't typically see this type of price action in foreign exchange markets. However, I think this move was quite justified in the sense that the ECB overt dovishness came on the back of a hawkish Fed. So really, I mean, traders were just jumping over themselves, trying to get downside exposure on the euro. Factoring in, these differentials are going to work in the U.S. dollar favor, probably for some time to come, if not over the next year. So as it stands right now, the dollar is certainly in the driver's seat.
Looking at the euro, the ECB on Thursday announced an end to its easy money policy. More specifically, it said it would halve bond purchases in October and stop buying bonds altogether by the end of the year, thus bringing an end to a five-year easy money policy known as quantitative easing. Yet at the same time, ECB Chief Mario Draghi announced that Europe's central bank will keep interest rates steady until at least the summer of next year. Stephen, Draghi seems to be towing a middle line. How would you characterize his policy?
Well, the Draghi effect and the ultimate master of the dark art of central bank communique, he certainly threw the market for a loop because we were expecting a somewhat hawkish delivery from the ECB. However, by extending the key interest rate hike scenario, basically kicking the can down the road for another year, this really, really weighs negatively on the euro. But we have to remember here, I think Draghi was positioning this in fear of a possible taper tantrum that could have seen the euro escalate much higher and send yields ratcheting a lot higher. So I think he wanted to be a little bit guarded because really this is a big experiment the central banks are going through. So I think they want to do this quite conservatively without rocking the market. So I think this is his attitude.
Are you optimistic for the success of his policy?
Well, right now, I think it's going to keep the market guessing, that's for sure. Economic data coming out of the eurozone has been quite weak relative to the strengthening U.S. economic data. So really, the ECB is in a situation where they really don't want to raise interest rates until they get over this soft patch in the economic data, or they start to see some convincing on the inflation front. So I think given the fact they're also going through a massive political malaise coming out of Italy, but still there's this political overhang amongst Europe, basically all around this immigration factor, I think the ECB is preferring this dovish tack. And I think this is probably the more prudent approach, despite the fact that it's going to weigh negatively on the single currency.
Okay, we'll keep a close eye on what happens next. In this hour's Market Insight, we turn to the commodity markets, where it's been a volatile few days. Let's start with oil, which tanked on Friday, dropping more than $2 a barrel after Russia and Saudi Arabia all but confirmed that they're increasing production. In today's trading, though, the price of a barrel of Brent crude is up about 1% to US$74 a barrel. Turning to gold, an ounce of the precious metal is now trading up 0.5% at US$1,281 an ounce. But like oil, it also plunged on Friday, dropping to its lowest level since December. Gold futures settled at their lowest level of the year just one day after ending at a monthly high. How do you make sense of it all? Well, the head of trading at Oanda, Stephen Innes, put out a research note this morning, which he wrote that he wasn't sure if he should, quote, bury his head in the sand or just play the cards that are dealt. Just a little while ago, I spoke with Mr. Innes to see how he's coping and what we should do to make sense of the markets. I know one thing that's maybe had your blood pressure rising has been the price of gold. What's going on in the gold markets now?
We had an absolute meltdown on gold on Friday. And what really is driving this is, one, we didn't have a big move higher on this escalation of a trade war. And when you start factoring in some of the negatives that apply to gold, first of all, the stronger dollar narrative, higher interest rates, and obviously the lack of inflation, it sent gold tumbling down. I mean, it was mostly hot money that was in the gold market right now. And what we're seeing is that hot money reverse into selling modes. So now traders become more intent to sell when gold rises as opposed to buy when gold drops. So this has got a little bit of a change of momentum right now, and this is something that we're closely keeping our eye on over the next week or two.
Do you see the price of gold dropping further?
Well, you know, it could possibly do, but I'm still long-term bullish on gold simply because there are a lot of geopolitical hotspots in the world right now that could flare up at any time. Coupled with the fact our view on the U.S. dollar is still quite negative over the longer term. So in that regard, I think you're still going to see some appetite when gold drops on dips. But to get us back above 1,300 and even anywhere near 1,325, it's going to take a combination of, one, a geopolitical risk escalation plus a weakening of U.S. dollar, both of which seem quite unlikely at this juncture.
So let's not look for a rise in gold right now, but over the long term, you are bullish on the metal.
That's correct.
Fresh fears of a trade war are weighing on Asian markets today, as is the strength of the U.S. dollar. Over the long weekend, the United States released a long list of Chinese products that will be subject to tariffs. China responded with a $50 billion U.S. dollar list of its own, and China's list includes products that hit at the U.S. heartland, agricultural goods, as well as American crude oil, natural gas, and coal. All this weighing on the markets. Here in Singapore, the Straits Times index down almost 1% or more than 31 points at 3,325. Turnover is moderate at $1.1 billion. Not many winners out there today. Losers outpacing gainers by a margin of more than 3-1. Well, let's take a closer look. Shares are down, not just because of those trade concerns, but also because the U.S. Federal Reserve raised interest rates by a quarter point last week and indicated that two more rate hikes are in the works this year. And this is putting pressure across the board on Asian currencies and equities. For more insight, I spoke earlier with Stephen Innes, the head of trading at Oanda.
Financial updates.
Well, I think the obvious hawkish Fed narrative is definitely weighing on regional markets. But if you also factor in the strong U.S. dollar, just adding to this expanding wall of worry for Asian currencies. Right now, what the central banks in Asia are concerned about is capital outflows. And if outflows continue, will it cause them to take action on the monetary policy front? In other words, will they raise interest rates to defend the currency? We've seen this happen in a couple of local emerging markets where Bank of Indonesia raised rates to defend the currency, and the Bank of India also followed up a week later by doing the same. But really what it boils down to is a stronger dollar. I think this is the real wrecking ball for emerging market currencies. It could be argued that some of the currencies are better positioned because of improved current accounts. But really, when you start looking at the breakdown of the debt levels and the portion of debt that's denominated in U.S. dollars, servicing this debt has gotten incredibly more expensive as the dollar strengthens. So, you know, you start to add these factors into the equation, you can really understand the jitters that local markets are feeling as they wear capital outflows coming out of the Asian markets and back into the U.S. markets. It's a real fear here, and this is why you're seeing investors being totally defensive today and looking for safe haven guards against possible rout in the emerging market space, particularly in Asia.
You mentioned safe havens. What might those be?
Well, you know, traditional safe havens, that you would think we would go to gold, but gold's in the offs right now simply because of the higher U.S. interest rates and the stronger U.S. dollar, which makes gold incredibly unattractive. So right now what you're seeing is basically a flight into U.S. bond markets, and you're also seeing some play into the yen. These are typical safe haven plays as the market tries to iron out what's really going to happen, one, on the trade front, and two, whether this strong dollar actually sticks.
The U.S. markets are set to open lower this evening. June futures for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ are all trading off more than 0.5%. The Dow June contract is down 188 points. This follows losses today across most of Europe and Asia, including here in Singapore, where the Straits Times index closed down nearly 1% at 33.24. Trade tensions are weighing on the markets, as are rising interest rates. Last week, the U.S. Federal Reserve raised interest rates by a quarter point and indicated that two more rate hikes are in the works this year. For more insight about how investors are reacting, I spoke earlier with Stephen Innes, the head of trading at Oanda.
I think the markets are going to be in a flux. I think we're still trying to iron out how much hawkish the Fed Reserve Board is, you know, relative to their comments. I think they're going to be quite data dependent in the sense that perhaps the markets got a little bit ahead of themselves, thinking that it's a lock that the Feds are going to continue raising interest rates every quarter. I think if we have a series of strong economic data coming out of the U.S., it'll certainly cement that view. Looking at the last week's retail sales, it certainly vindicates that hawkish narrative, but will the upcoming data follow through? That's the big question, and that's what everybody's got their eyes on.
Stephen, while equity prices in the U.S. were down at the end of last week, the U.S. dollar has been strengthening on the back of higher interest rates. How, in your view, though, do trade tensions affect the U.S. dollar?
Yeah, you see, this is a bit difficult here because obviously you would think that the currencies that are more predisposed to global growth narrative and trade would obviously weaken. So we've seen what we call a lot of the risk currencies like the Australian dollar, a lot of regional currencies in Asia that would be hampered by possible trade sanctions have weakened. But when we look at the G10 basket, it's a little bit uncertain here. So in other words, if you look at dollar yen, for instance, which is typically considered a risk aversion trade. So in other words, people could sell the U.S. dollar and buy the yen as a hedge versus we look at the euro right now, and it's still a little bit uncertain how this is going to play out on the overall trade factor, because you have to also remember that perhaps escalating trade tensions could also weigh negatively on the U.S. economy. So really, we're stuck at a real inflection point right now as far as trying to fully understand the full context of how trade wars are going to impact the U.S. dollar against the G3 currencies.
We've been speaking with Stephen Innes, the head of trading at Oanda.